Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Today is International Women's Day, a day to celebrate diversity and inclusion. Now, before we get into today's In the Spotlight interview, I wanted to share some statistics with you. According to a recent Equileap gender equality report, 10 companies out of 3,702 researched globally achieved gender balance at all levels, board, executive, senior management, and workforce. According to another report by multinational law firm Pinsent Masons, in 2019, women made up just 21% of employees being put forward for senior roles at financial services firms. But as they say, the times, they are a-changing. Citibank's Jane Fraser is the first female CEO of a major US bank. And here in Singapore, Miss Helen Wong will take over as chief executive of OCBC Bank. Today in the Spotlight, we're joined by Eleanor Seat, and she's the president and head of Asia ex Japan at Nikko Asset Management Asia. Eleanor is also the chair of the organizing committee of the IMAS Bloomberg Investment Conference that's taking place this week, and she's going to share with us more about her journey as a woman in finance. Eleanor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel and Money FM, for this tremendous opportunity. What a wonderful opportunity to talk to you around this topic today.
And happy International Women's Day to you, Eleanor.
Thank you so much, and happy International Women's Day back.
So let's start off, since it is International Women's Day and you're a member of initiatives such as the Financial Women's Association, Bloomberg Women's Buy-Side Network, and you've not only succeeded in what is still a male-dominated industry, but you've thrived and you're supporting and championing others to do the same. What are some of the key lessons that you've learned over the years as a woman in finance?
Thank you, Rachel, that's most generous. I have been very blessed and I've learned many lessons through time, still very much on this journey. And I guess three thoughts come to mind today. And they're firstly, that diversity and inclusion are certainly powerful transformative forces, but diversity without inclusion, it only works superficially. So there is a current overemphasis on diversity and an underemphasis on inclusion. So we've been thinking and I've been learning that really this old one hero style of leadership is old, and inclusive leadership is important because it increases and it really improves the probability of success. And diversity and inclusion sometimes can be challenging, especially when you have cognitive diversity, but it really benefits everyone. It supports innovation. It reduces risk. So important for our business. And for example, in my firm now, you know, that's how we simply compete and improve, importantly, together.
And Eleanor, you mentioned there that there can be challenges as well. Can you tell me about some of the key challenges that you faced?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges, honestly, is balancing post having kids. I know I'm not alone on this.
I feel you.
I wish I could have said I planned my life better, but, you know, it just wasn't possible. I had my kids very late. And when they came, especially so for the first one, it really forced me to relearn how I did, frankly, life, all of it. And still learning, because it keeps, you know, changing on me. So, you know, I think overcoming daily, weekly, year by year, it's through getting help and learning to embed this in part of my story. I've learned that, you know, there's no need to kind of edit it for perfection, but rather to learn how to embrace, shall we say, the imperfections, because it makes it real, makes it yours.
And just adding on from that, Eleanor, as a mother and a female in finance, what are some of the issues that you've had to deal with there? Do you find that there are a lot of stereotypes still within the industry that you've had to face up and overcome?
I think, you know, certainly, you know, the workplace, you know, is still a man's world. And whilst there's been a lot of talk around the pressing need for greater flexibility. Certainly women are big beneficiaries on that front. Yeah. And frankly, the technology for doing so in some ways has always been there. But, you know, it took the crisis, you know, because one of, if anything, one of the most positives that have come out from the challenge of last year was having to respond to sustain the reality that COVID-19 has become for all of us. And quite nicely, innovation gains traction during tumultuous times, right? So I think, you know, it's really forced us to have real mindset changes. Mm-hmm. I'll admit for myself too. And the good news is, I think we've surprised ourselves how well we've been able as an industry to respond and to sustain over time. And I think a good part of this flexibility is here to stay now. So many companies, ourselves included, are very much thinking about what that looks like for us as we move forward into 2021 and beyond. And, you know, in terms of like sort of attaining success for women, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just, I think, about women supporting women or men supporting women, and both of which are critical. But I think, you know, it's also partnership with working alongside firms, you know, to attain this success that we both need in this integrated world we live in.
And speaking of this integrated world, the industry has changed phenomenally as well. What would you say to women looking to enter the sector now?
Companies, ourselves included, are still kind of thinking how best to respond. So I think, you know, keeping conversations open and really engaged in terms of sharing what is needed, ideas around how we can better hone to this environment. There's no better time to do that than now, because, you know, many firms are really thinking how to embed this, shall we say, newfound flexibility into, you know, sort of what was until now a very traditional operating model that really, I would say, probably supported men more than women, because I think culturally we've always, you know, certainly in a workplace, we probably undervalue, you know, fathers, and we overburden, you know, women in general. So I think some of this increased flexibility will be a wonderful change. So let's try to make it, you know, real and, you know, sort of share this with the firm so that they can see how they can respond.
And there's this meme that I always see online or graphic that says, we expect mothers to work as if they have no children and to mother as if they're not working. But it's good to hear that the industry is changing. And this, and I think attitudes overall are changing as well, which is good.
There, I mean, there's a concept of the working mother, right? But there's no concept of the working father.
That's it. So tell us more about Bloomberg Women's Buy-Side Network. What role do such support networks play in supporting women in finance, and why are they important? I mean, obviously networking is great. It helps you to expand your knowledge and people that you know within the industry, and perhaps then create greater opportunities.
Well, this came to be in 2018. Bloomberg, Trinian, Virginia, and I, we all came together, and whilst it is a mouthful, Bloomberg Women's Buy-Side Network, BWBN for short. It's really a community of women made up actually of men and women in the buy-side industry who share a common vision about building what we feel is the next generation of female buy-side leaders in Asia. So we have activities that aim to promote meritocracy, inclusion in industry, importantly, educate on the diversity that is to be had with buy-side career paths. And how we do that is through meaningful engagement, active mentorship. Actually, we're very active on LinkedIn. So we encourage listeners on the buy-side, women who are thinking of the buy-side, to, you know, join us in the network, check it out. Highlight actually two features we're having. First, the network recently published a 2021 Outlook report, which covered key investment themes around sustainability and diversity for 2021 and beyond. So that's very interesting. Secondly, quite excitingly, we're having an upcoming event, which is hosting a global Next Gen Connect event with Tara and Gain. And it really connects top investors with university students across Asia, Europe, and the Middle East, and around topics such as the future of pension financing, mentoring sort of middle level professionals. And to your question about, you know, why do we feel this is important? We feel this network can not only help to inspire next generation investors, but really to elevate female role models, grow a pipeline of female leaders in the asset management industry, but also, you know, it helps to highlight generally and the greater purpose of investment management and help create change for the future growth of the industry.
And speaking of events, Eleanor, this week we have the IMAS Bloomberg Investment Conference. Other than networking, as you mentioned, it's also important to keep up to date with the latest movements that may impact the industry. Can you tell us more about the conference? What are some of the key areas that are going to be covered during the conference? And I understand ESG is going to be a key topic as well. And we've been talking about that a lot here in Singapore. We've just had the budget that had a huge sustainability component. We've got the Singapore Green Plan 2030 as well. What's going to be the highlight for you?
So the IMAS Bloomberg Investment Conference this year is going to come together with the inaugural IMAS Digital Summit. And right, it's actually taking place tomorrow and day after, 9th and 10th of March. Mm-hmm. And IMAS is so excited to partner with Bloomberg again for our conference. This is the second time we're doing after our 2019 one. And quite unique to what is Singapore and Asia, we've shown that we're an ecosystem that can come together. So we're bringing together the buy side community to discuss topics that are very close to our heart. And it's under the banner of what we're calling the conference, the future of capital. And so the event will bring together investors, thought leaders, technology companies to share, you know, sort of new ideas on future of capital, spotlight emerging innovations that will help bring positive change. So we're so thankful to the support of the community and sponsors. We're expecting 700 buy-side participants from all
Wonderful.
Around the world.
Okay.
They've signed up and we're so privileged to have Managing Director of MAS, Mr. Ravi Menon, as our guest of honor. And at the Digital Summit, we have the Deputy CEO of Temasek International, Mr. Chia Sung Hui. So we're very excited around that. Also, you talked about the topics earlier, but mm-hmm. we think that as investors rethink return risk and strategy, who better to talk to us on the future of capital, you know, than having a conversation with the CEO of GIC, Mr. Lim Chow Kiat, and hear directly from Sue Brake, who is CIO at a Future Fund, Australia's Sovereign Wealth Fund. And so we're going to talk about risk, return, sustainability. You mentioned ESG. That's clearly going to be a key focus at the conference. We're talking about climate change. Mark Conan of AIA, Fiona Reynolds, CEO of UNPRI. We're going to have a lot of speakers come in to share insights on actually the Asia ESG playbook and actually how we can integrate alternative climate data sources into investments.
Sounds fascinating, Eleanor. A lot to catch up on this week. And people can still sign up, can they, for the conference?
They can, although we're getting close. It's happening tomorrow. So
yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing all those updates with us and for sharing part of your journey as well. Really appreciate it. And thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you, Eleanor.
We've been speaking with Eleanor Seat, President and Head of Asia ex Japan at Nikko Asset Management Asia and the Chair of the Organizing Committee of the IMAS Bloomberg Investment Conference right here on Primetime on Money FM with me, Rachel Kelly.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.